Hear your favorite NFL legends sharing their stories and insights every week right here on Thursday Night Tailgate with Chris Mascaro and Bob Lazeri. Take it away, guys.
When the door is locked, there's no way out.
Now back in making his fourth appearance with us here on Thursday Night Tailgate is former Pitt and Chargers defensive end Bert Grossman. Let me remind you a little bit more about Bert's background. He's from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, played his college ball at the University of Pittsburgh. He was a first-round draft choice, the eighth overall selection by the San Diego Chargers in 1989. Played in the NFL from 1989 to 1994 for the Chargers and the Eagles before a neck injury prematurely ended his career. Over the course of that time, he had 276 tackles, 43.5 sacks, recorded three safeties, and he forced three fumbles. After his playing days, he worked in Philadelphia on a radio show titled Eagles Hour, which he won an Emmy for Best Sports Reporting back in 1995. In 96, he published a book titled The Way Things Ought to Be. In 2011, he was selected as the NFL Teacher of the Year for the impact he had on his students' educational and life skills development. He's become a wonderful friend of the show, and we are so glad he is back with us again tonight here on Thursday Night Tailgate. Hey, Bert, Chris, and Bob, thanks for coming back.
Hi,
on the show.
Thank you for having me. I always love coming on this show.
Bert, I got to get your thoughts on the Pitt Panthers. You know I'm from Pittsburgh and, you know, always pulling for Pitt to do well, but 3-3 so far this season. Are you seeing any signs that this program is going to get back to where it used to be back in the 70s and 80s?
I don't think that program will ever get back to the 70s and 80s, and it was such good times for Pitt, and I kind of got to Pitt at the tail end of the 80s when, well, 85, but when it was just off that, and everybody just thought it was, you know, a coach or a quarterback away, and when's the next Dan Marino going to come? It's been 40 years and we haven't had one, but, you know, it's hard now. I think and ever since they moved the stadium out of Oakland, it's just not a college atmosphere anymore. It's just hard for city schools to get that good, and Penn State has continued to roll, and you know, the Big 12 now is recruiting, and they're not getting the recruits they used to get. West Virginia is on top again. Syracuse is up and coming, so I don't see in the foreseeable future. I thought Narduzzi was going to be a great hire, but they've kind of regressed since the Wants that era to me. I mean, you know, Paul Chryst was there and everybody complained about him, but Narduzzi's best year was with his guys his first year, and it's gone backwards ever since. I don't know. I didn't like the move to AC. Didn't like Stadium. I mean, there's been, you know, Todd Graham, there's been some bad coaching hires. I don't know if they can ever get out of it, to be honest with you. It's been so long.
And to the point you just made, Bert, about the move to the ACC and you not liking it, a lot of people have started to point the finger that that was a bad move for Pitt to leave the Big East and to join the ACC. Why do you think it was a bad move?
I mean, at the time, I mean, I could see at the time because basketball was Jamie Dixon was there and they're a perennial top 10 or even top 5 team at the time, top 20. They were coming off Wonstadt who has, you know, was winning 10 games or so, and it seemed like a good idea and they can compete, but I think what they didn't realize was you're going to have to start recruiting against those teams that, you know, traditionally you didn't have to. That became the problem, really. They just don't get 4-star. I mean, Pitt always got 4 or 5-star recruits. You never saw Pitt outside of the top 5 or 10 in recruiting, even into 2000 almost. They always had 4 or 5-star kids. I don't know the last 4 or 5-star kid they had, maybe Jordan Whitehead, but they don't get those kids anymore, and those kids want to go to Clemson. And if you go to Clemson or you go to Florida State or you go to Miami and then you go to Pitt and it's like, oh, we got to bus to the stadium to practice. We got to share a facility with a pro team. We got to bus there. It's just not a college atmosphere, and that's what kids that age want. They want that atmosphere. I mean, you saw the atmosphere of Penn State at a whiteout night as compared to, you know, it raining at Syracuse with 10,000 people in the stands. Where would you go?
To the end, that end about Penn State. Right. One of the things that I sort of scratched my head about, Bert, is when Penn State was going through all their tribulations and, you know, during and after the Sandusky related issues, and the program sort of took a downhill for a couple of seasons, but they were able to recover, right? And they're back to back 11 win seasons. They're number 8 in the country right now. It seemed like Pitt had an opportunity to perhaps seize on some of that when maybe kids weren't as eager to go to Penn State as they had been historically, but it seemed like that came and went. And Pitt didn't get anything out of it, and Penn State bounced right back.
And they didn't capitalize on it. And I think, you know, when I grew up in Pennsylvania, And you know, you either went to Pitt or you went to Penn State if you were a top recruit in Pennsylvania. It was really no discussion. Notre Dame always got kids, and West Virginia might pull one or two, but it was always, and we battled back and forth with recruits, and we all knew each other, but, you know, with the internet and with more TV contracts and people start to see that atmosphere, I just think as a player, if you think you're a big-time player in high school, and I watch a Penn State game and I watch a Pitt game, I don't know if I'd go to Pitt now, to be honest with you, but the reason I went was, you know, I grew up in the city, and when Penn State was just too country for me, and so was West Virginia, and so were some of these other places. Pitt was home to me because it was a city. But again, the stadium was on campus. It was all encapsulated, and you had that campus feel. It is totally gone now. I mean, you're at Pro State, and you take a bus to practice. That's just, you're taking away the one experience that kids like the most. I mean, that whole atmosphere. And again, I hate to keep bringing it up, but if you watch Alabama game or LSU game, or you watch a Penn State game, why would you go anywhere else these days?
Bob, questions for Bert?
Great to speak with you again, Bert. And just a little bit about the your East Coast upbringing, you know, from Philadelphia and playing at Pitt and then being drafted by San Diego. Bert, I think every guy we've spoken to, especially Ed White and a few others, had said that playing in San Diego is just ideal, obviously the conditions here, but you grew up here in the East Coast, Philadelphia, Pitt, et cetera. You see it all. Was that a big adjustment? And it probably was better for your game, if anything.
I think it was better for my game just because of the style of the AFC West. I mean, the conference was better because I was undersized and I was a pass rusher, and that's kind of what I did. You know, the honest thing was, growing up in Philadelphia and Pittsburgh, it's like as soon as, you know, October hit and daylight savings, it was like you're in Alaska. So all you did was work out and football, football, football. The problem I had was I got here and it was like the ocean and there's skiing an hour away and there's L.A. and there's just so many options here that you lose focus, to be honest with you. I mean, I would go times where I wouldn't even work out the whole offseason, where at Pitt or Philadelphia, I didn't have a choice because it was too cold to go outside and we couldn't do anything else. But, you know, it's hard to get all that money and come from somewhere like Pittsburgh. And Pittsburgh was down then because of the steel industry, and it was the mid-80s, and it was a depressing place. To come there and then to come to Southern California, especially San Diego, I mean, it's just like your senses are overwhelmed, and football becomes like your last priority. And that's what I think hurt me the most, probably.
And, Bert, your rookie year in 89, you played along guys like Gary Plummer and Leslie O'Neill, our good friend Vince Glenn, and Billy Ray Smith. There were some good players on that team. Any of those guys I mentioned or someone else that kind of took you under their wing, made your transition to the NFL a bit easier?
Gary Plummer did a lot. You know, Leslie and I had a well-documented not like for each other, you know, playing opposite ends. So he never did. He'd do everything to sabotage me and vice versa. But Gary Plummer did from pretty much day one. I would go to his house and eat dinner. And Gary Plummer was a crazy workout guy. And I think they hoped that would catch on, but it never did. And then they drafted Junior and, you know, made Junior my roommate, which, you know, at the time I thought I was supposed to take him under my wing, but then I realized in hindsight, he's a workout crazy too, and I think they were hoping that he would have some effect on me, but neither one took. But yeah, I definitely did, but I think, you know, I had a different personality and didn't really take any of that. Unfortunately, I wish I would have, you know, in hindsight, but when you're, you know, 20, 21 years old and you know, you come from a crazy background and you come from these crazy places, like Pitt was crazy at that time. You're just your own person, and you just, you know, like I said, the senses of this town and the difference couldn't be more. Diego at the time, it was just overwhelming.
And Bert, sticking with your playing days in San Diego, your rookie year in 1989, that was the season that Christian Okoye had his breakout year for the Chiefs, rushed for nearly 1,500 yards, 12 touchdowns. What do you remember about going up against the Nigerian nightmare?
Oh, God. You know, it was always, like you said earlier, it was nice to play in the AFC West till it was late in the season and you had to go to Kansas City. And then you knew they were just going to pound Christian Okoye the whole time. And he was probably 270 and I was probably 250. You know, he's a tailback and I'm a defensive end. But I always made a point to, like, tackle him from the side and, like, pretend like I was tripping just so I could, like, tackle his ankles, because he was one of those ones that just kill you. And I came from Pitt, who had iron head, and I think I was already broken down from tackling iron head every day at practice. So I learned my lesson. at Pitt with Ironhead, and I learned how to do it, what not to do with big backs like that. So it was pretty much an angle deal. But he was, I mean, he was just murder. And they had a good offensive line. So it was tough. And you knew they were going to throw the ball, and you knew it was cold. They had that old hard turf, and the place was packed. But, you know, that was all. Kansas City was pretty much like a Pittsburgh experience. But we came from, you know, it's always 75 or 80. It's always sunny. It's always grass. There's always pretty girls in the stands. So we were kind of soft in that regard, I think. But we were more pass rushers. So, you know, teams like Kansas City, we'd always have problems with. And even the Raiders. I don't know how they did it, but they had that East Coast mentality, even though they were on the West Coast.
And, Bert, in 94, you left San Diego and you go up to Philadelphia. You join the Eagles. And you must have endeared yourself to the fans there right away because you had a sack in each of the first four games that you played in. But we know that the Philly fans can be tough. What do you remember about your season up there playing for the Eagles?
You know, the fans are fine, mostly because I was born and raised in Philly, and you know, they always like their own no matter what you do. But I tore my hamstring, actually, in, like, the third game. And I didn't really play much after that, to be honest with you. I mean, I started to play towards the end, and I couldn't practice. But I love Philly in that aspect, but, you know, it just changed because I've been here 5 years, and it was just a different game. And the really big difference was you play your whole career in the AFC West at the time, and you were rushing the passer. You play the run, but it was an NFC East at the time that had Emmitt Smith and the Cowboys and the Giants. It was a different adjustment. It was almost like I went to a totally different football league, and they were playing totally different rules, and you had to adjust. But, I mean, I liked it, and the fans, I know they're notoriously bad. I mean, I remember, like, you know, dead cats being at the stadium because they used to let feral cats go at Veterans Stadium because they had a rat problem. We'd find, like, dead cats in the morning and just, you know, there was always fights there. They had the jail there. I mean, it was a crazy place, but for me, it wasn't that big a shock because I was born and raised there, so it was kind of what I was used to.
And, Bert, just a couple more before we let you go. And you also went back and you played in Pittsburgh against the Steelers. In fact, your first three seasons, every year you seem to have a game against the Steelers in Pittsburgh, which sort of seems odd. But you had a sack in each one of those first few games. So did you have a little extra juice going back to Pittsburgh and playing in Three Rivers?
Not really. And to be totally honest with you, Pittsburgh wasn't good at that time, and that was more of it. You know, as my fourth, fifth year, I think my fourth year, my fifth year is when I tore my shoulder, my labrum in my shoulder, and I had to go on injured reserve and didn't finish the year. So I only played half that year, but I did it in Pittsburgh. But towards the end of my career, Pittsburgh was, you know, Bill Cowher was coming in. They ended up going to the Super Bowl and winning in the Super Bowl. So it was more the fact that they just weren't that good, to be honest with you, at the time. But, you know, early in my career, but towards the end of my career, as short as it was with my injury, they were turning around on a Cowher, and it wasn't happening anymore. They were that much better.
And Bert, going back to when you were drafted, you were the eighth overall selection in 89. The Steelers actually had the seventh pick, and they took Tim Worley with that pick. Was there ever a little, you know, hey, why didn't you guys come and get me? I was sitting right there for you.
You know what? There's a lot of, you know, weird things at the time about the Steelers wouldn't take any Pitt guys. You know, it notoriously started when they passed on Dan Marino. But you look at, like, you know, Dolman. I mean, a lot of people came out of Pitt that it wouldn't take. And the funny part was they took Tom Ricketts because they had two picks in the first round that year. They took Tom Ricketts, who was a tackle out of Pitt, in the first round and a later pick than mine. But he never ended up playing it down and ended up being a bust. And I don't think they've taken another Pitt guy since. But you know what? I don't know if I would have wanted to go to Pitt at the time or the Steelers. I had visited San Diego, and it was just a culture shock to me, and I was like, I'm moving out there, whether they take me or not, that's where I'm going to live. So they ended up taking me. But, I mean, I absolutely love Pittsburgh, and to be honest with you, I would go back to Pittsburgh. I was the number one defensive line in the country coming out of high school. I would go back to Pittsburgh 100 times over just because I loved Pitt that much, and it was just great. I mean, I would never change that decision, but to stay on and go in Pittsburgh, it was a weird time. It was when, like, Terry Long was, you know, doing the drugs, and Carl Hasselrig was doing the drugs, and Mike Webster was coming unraveled, and it was just a weird time at Pitt those first few years, right when I was ending at the University of Pittsburgh. It was just a weird time and a weird vibe there, and I wasn't really into it, and they weren't into Pitt guys, and then Cowher came and changed the whole culture, and then they became, you know, the Steelers.
Bert, before we let you go, remind our listeners how they can stay up to date with the great things that you're doing now, whether it's online or it's on social media.
Well, mostly Twitter, which would be Bert, B-U-R-T underscore Grossman. That's pretty much it. I post Twitter during the football season and then, you know, Facebook like everybody else because I'm old. But mostly Twitter.
Well, Bert, thanks for taking time out of your night to come back on the show. You're always fantastic. We always have so much fun when you join us. We hope you'll come back again and join us again real soon.
Absolutely. Anytime. Anytime you say, I'll be back.
Thanks, Bert.
We appreciate you, Bert.
All right.
Take care. All the best to you and your family, my friend.
Thank you.
Take care.
That is former Pitt and San Diego Chargers, and obviously Eagles there the last season of his career, defensive end, Bert Grossman. And what a great guy, Bob. I always enjoy having Bert as part of the show.
Yeah, again, it tells it like it is, Chris, big time. It's just, again, people forget how good a defensive end he was. 20 sacks in his first 2 years. That's insane. Just very sad to me that he had to hang up the cleats very early, because God only knows what kind of defensive end he would have been, Chris, and how many sacks he would have put up as he was out of football at a very young age.